This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at southdakotachannel.org.
At this time, I'd like to greet the listeners on the internet, and I'd like to welcome all the guests that have come to this before this committee today. I'd also like to have the pages take a moment and introduce themselves, tell us about what your current endeavors and what your future might bring.
Turn your mic on.
Econ, and then going on to law school.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Autumn Simon.
Turn it on. You just shut it off.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Autumn Simon, and I'm from Hovind, South Dakota, and my plans are to attend Lake Area for early childhood development.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to remind folks to turn your cell phones off, and including myself. And being a dedicated beef producer, anyone that violates that rule will furnish beef jerky for the next committee meeting. At this time, I'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Ferrix.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ewing.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Rampelberg.
Here.
Rush.
Here.
Valley.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Kamak.
Here. We have a quorum. At this time, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Olson. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. At this time, I'd like to remind testifiers to be sure and sign in legibly at the podium in the back. And any lobbyists that wish to testify, if you would, be sure and wear your badges. And any handouts that you might have for the committee, make sure that they're distributed by the pages. and any questions that come before the committee will be addressed through the chair. Are there any changes to today's agenda? If none, we'll start out with the consideration of bills. The first bill that we're going to consider is Senate Bill 78, and due to an administrative error by the chair, Senate Bill 78 has been previously heard, and there was a motion to do pass that failed, but the chair failed to have final disposition of that bill. So at this time, I would ask for additional action on that bill. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would make a motion to send Senate Bill 78 to the 41st day.
Thanks.
It's been moved by Senator Ewing, seconded by Senator Valley, to send Senate Bill 78 to the 41st day. Is there any further discussion on that? If there's no further discussion on that, at this time, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Ferrix?
Pass.
Peterson?
No.
Ewing?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rampler?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Kamak?
Aye.
Ferrix?
No.
6-3.
The motion to send Senate Bill 78, Senate Bill 78 to the 41st day, has passed on a vote of
6-3.
Senate Bill 78 will be deferred to the 41st day. We'll move on to House Bill 1011. Are there any proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. Tony Life, I'm director of the Wildlife Division for the Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. I'm here to ask for your support for House Bill 1011, which is a piece of legislation that would repeal five statutes. In fact, would be the last five statutes contained within the refuge chapter. I do have two handouts for you, Mr. Chairman, with your permission. I'll ask Paige to hand those out.
Yes.
The refuge chapter in state statute was established back in 1939. At the time, the thought was in game management that you needed to have places like this to preserve wildlife, to have wildlife for the future generations. We've learned a lot when it comes to wildlife management, and the most important thing that we've learned along the way over the years is that habitat really is the key to wildlife populations. It's not necessarily keeping them away from hunting, although there are times where there is value to having preserves within the state. Now, you'll also, having refuges in the state. You will notice there is a reference in this chapter to game preserve. The game preserve that's being referenced here was what is now known as Custer State Park. It used to be known as the Custer Game Preserve. And it was established by then-Governor Peter Norbeck to put this large acreage in place in the Black Hills that would sustain the reintroduction of many wildlife species that had been eliminated during early gold rush years in the Black Hills. Now, when I say habitat is the key, it's important to say hunting is not a factor as long as it's regulated. Unregulated hunting has had an impact on wildlife populations in the past, but in our modern days of modern wildlife management, as you well know, hunting is regulated in such a way to provide opportunity now and to also preserve opportunity into the future. So the purpose of refuges is to enhance opportunity to hunt, although it's important to note that there are trade-offs, that when you isolate an area away from hunting, that these refuges then serve as a place for wildlife to concentrate and as a place for enhanced opportunity on the fringes of those places where these refuges are located. So the handouts that you have a front and back side to each of them. One of them lists all of the state statutes and administrative rules that are important for our discussion here this morning. And the second handout lists all of the state refuges that are listed in administrative rule. One of the statutes you'll notice, the second one down on that list, is 41-2-18. It essentially grants the ability to establish refuges to the Game, Fish, and Parks Commission. And the list of refuges that you see there is the result of that authority. Many different refuges across the state. Now, there was a time when there were even state refuges that were listed in state statute. And some of you may have been here back in 2010. I think I see a few familiar faces from back then when the state refuge, the state Wall Lake Game Bird Refuge, was removed from state statute. That was in 2010. That was the last refuge that was actually identified in state statute. Subsequent to that refuge being removed from statute, it was reestablished in administrative rule, and you'll notice it's down there in the list under Hand County. The Wall Lake Refuge is listed two-thirds down the page of that list of refuges. Now, there are three different types of refuges right now that are currently in administrative rule. And the rules associated with hunting those different refuges are described on the list of administrative rules there. Now, it is important to note that on all these refuges, it is important to note that those refuges that are either waterfowl or game bird, that there is still hunting that is allowed on those refuges. The only four refuges in the state where no hunting is allowed are those that are classified as game refuges. And those are either small, relatively small areas, as in the case of the I game refuge in Grant County, and the game refuge in Yankton County, Kelly Cove. Each of those are less than 10 acres. And the other one would be up in Day County, the Wabe Refuge, which is essentially follows the same boundaries as the Wabe National Wildlife Refuge, in addition to the area below the ordinary high water mark. And then lastly, the fourth game refuge is at Jorgensen in Brule County, and that was a piece of property that was actually donated by the family to the department with the contingent that it had to be remain as a game refuge. So those are the only refuges in the state where no hunting at all is allowed. All the waterfowl and game bird refuges, you can hunt squirrels, rabbits, big game, coyotes. You can even trap on those refuges. So they're, it's just isolated in on the one factor of concentrating waterfowl or game birds to allow, again, for enhancement of opportunity in those adjacent areas. So I'll go ahead and walk through the five statutes briefly so you get comfort in the fact that it is a good change to remove these last five statutes from state code and essentially repeal all the remaining portions of the refuge chapter. Start with Section 1, which is 41.5-5, talks about placing notices on game production, or excuse me, on these refuges that show them as being refuges. We do that by practice. We mark all properties that we'd own or have any restrictions on, whether they be on private land or public land. Also important to note that there are portions of these refuges that you see described here that are on private land. That is by the wishes of the landowner. In all honesty, we would just assume landowners took control of their own property, but there are times where adjacent to some public land that there are landowners that want their private land included in one of these refuges, and we list those in refuge status at the request of the landowner. We actually have a signed consent form. I didn't bring multiple copies of this, but I just to show you that what we do is we have a signed agreement with landowners if their private land is going to be listed in a refuge. Well, it's important to mark the locations of refuges, obviously. I mean, that's a key element to making sure we get compliance. And obviously, if we did not properly mark those, we would have challenges sufficiently prosecuting people that violated the terms of those markings. As we also discussed last week, many times nowadays, people are using their handheld devices, and we also have all refuges marked on electronic media that you can get with those downloads onto your phone. Use the GPS to ensure that you're not hunting on a refuge and violating the terms of those administrative rules. So Section 2 is 41-5-6, talks about cut, remove, or in any way tamper with any fence surrounding a refuge. If you go back to your handout and the on the side of the sheet that lists state statutes, third statute down lists SDCL 22-34-1. That covers essentially everything that is covered in Section 2. That's a more general statute that talks about damaging of fences or other property, so it's not necessary to have a separate statute in place that says essentially the same thing specifically for refuges that's covered under this more general statute of 22-34-1. Section 3 talks about hunting on those refuges, and again, state or administrative rule covers that already. There are violations if you hunt on those. But the additional element of Section 3 is that it talks about carrying a rifle, shotgun, or other firearm. If you look at administrative rules, state statute, the opposite side of that page, at the top there under 41-1-1, there is a definition of hunt or hunting. It's subparagraph 14. It's not just shooting at the animals. It's the act of pursuing, taking, or attempting to take. That is considered to be hunting. And certainly our officers are fully capable of recognizing that activity and describing that activity to a judge if a person may be on a refuge hunting in that manner, whether how they're carrying their firearm and how they're working their way through it to where it isn't necessary to have that specific provision about carrying a firearm. In addition, the statute on the bottom of the page that I gave you, 23-7-8.1, talks about the concealed carry, a topic that gets a fair amount of discussion up in these chambers. And actually, this, the 41-5-7, which is Section 3 of this, is actually in conflict with this state statute in saying that you can't even possess a firearm when 43-7-8.1 says you can if you have the required permit. So Section 4 then, I believe, I suspect it was a companion statute that was passed to go with Section 3 in that it provided that private landowners get an exemption from possessing these firearms on their land. Now, the only place where this would come into play is, again, is on those game refuges, because on waterfowl and game bird refuges, you can already hunt those for other species other than waterfowl or game birds. So the only place that Section 4 would come into play is if there was any private land located within a game refuge. Once again, there's only four of those in the state, and of those four, none of them have any private land on them. So while Section 4 or 41-5-8 was likely passed as a companion statute to Section 3, the application of that, there is no application because there is no private land that is described to be a part of any game refuge where these prohibitions against carrying a firearm would be contained. Lastly, in Section 5 was essentially the authority for officers to enforce these, and for obvious reasons, if you don't have any statutes on the books any longer, there's no use to have an authority-granted statute as you see in Section 5. I hope I've given you the comfort that it is a good cleanup to make additional progress in Governor Dugard's goal to remove red tape and reduce the number of needless words, as he described them, in state statute, and in this case, remove this entire chapter from state code and make progress towards the goal of reducing this burden that we have within statute and rule. And I'd ask for your favorable support of House Bill 1011.
Thank you. Are there any further proponents? If there are no further proponents, are there any opponents? If there are no opponents, we will ask if there are any questions by the committee. If there are no questions by the committee, we'll... Senator Valley.
So what you're saying is that these are, the ones we're repealing are duplicative and that they're covered in the law somewhere else. Were any of them covered by rule or were they all covered by law? I kind of got lost there in the talk of rules and law.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Vela, they're not all covered by law. Some are covered by administrative rule. In particular, the authority that's granted to the Game Fish and Parks Commission to establish the refuges themselves and restrict the uses associated with those refuges. So that's where the administrative rules side of the sheet that I handed out to you would describe the different game bird different types of refuges, game bird, and waterfowl, and then the restrictions associated with the uses of those refuges. Everything else is duplicative or covered elsewhere in state statute, but that would be the main portion that would be covered by administrative rule, not state statute.
Follow up. So right now you can have a refuge by both law and rule.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Valley, that is correct. And I don't know that that would be precluded into the future if that was ever decided that this legislative body decided they wanted to get back into the business of recreating refuges. Certainly would have that authority if they so chose to exercise that authority into the future. But right now, the only refuges we have in the state are those that are established by administrative rule.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? If there are no further questions at this time, we will close the public testimony and move it back to the committee for discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we do pass House Bill 1011.
Is there a second to that?
Second.
It's been moved by Senator Jensen, seconded by Senator Frakes. Do pass on House Bill 1011. Is there any further discussion? Senator Frakes.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just would say
we probably get very little conversation among whether our constituents or anyone else interested in these, but I know I have had some concern, and I can understand where the department is at, that they like to deal with these from an administrative rule, dealing with the Game Fish and Parks Commission to make those changes based on restrictions or which refuges have been included or that may or may not be on a list. But I guess I just will share for the committee's information, I mean, something that I see in my own community, I mean, with Bullhead Lake in Roberts County, I mean, it's considered a waterfall refuge. And so even though there is the opportunity to catch more than just bullheads out there on that lake, it does cause some concern at times from people because it is a safe haven for waterfall in a sense, but then it seems like there sometimes are limits because really all you're going to use is a duck boat to get out on there. But again, as I share with constituents that ask me about that, I tell them that the commission brings that up, as they have even recently looked at some of those refuges, and that's a fitting place that they deal with that. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion? If there's no further discussion, the motion for House Bill 1011 is due pass, and those in favor will say aye, those opposed nay, and at this time the Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Frericks?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Excused.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
8 ayes.
There are 8 ayes for a due pass recommendation on House Bill 1011. Senator Rush.
Chairman, I would move consent calendar.
Senator Rush moves consent and seconded by Senator Ewing. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? House Bill 1011 will move on to the floor with a due pass recommendation on the consent calendar. At this time, I am going to relinquish the chair to my very capable vice chair. Hand her the hammer. That's a little dangerous.
Oh, this is the second time I've had this hammer. Now we will take up Senate Bill 107. Are there any proponents for 107?
Yes.
Madam Chair and Committee, I have a handout at this time. I'd like the pages to distribute.
Give them to the committee and anyone that might need one when you get done.
And I believe that this particular bill required a prison population cost estimate, and that has come back from the LRC with no known impact. Madam Chair and Committee, today I bring you Senate Bill 107, and it's to clarify the safety zone restrictions. And I believe that myself and most sportsmen and landowners believe that the 660-foot safety zone near dwellings, churches, and schoolhouses was just that, a safety zone, and that was to be honored. And it's been my experience that the lion's share of the time that area has been considered off limits for hunting the public right away. There is a provision, however, to allow an adjoining landowner or anyone he gives permission to hunt that public right away to hunt that public right away within the safety zone. This provision has the potential to create unnecessary safety hazards and This change in no way restricts the use of private property for hunting. I would ask your support for this common sense, common courtesy change. I've sent out a handout, and the handout is an attempt to try to clarify what we're trying to accomplish with Senate Bill 107. And basically, the problem is that if you have a neighbor that has a property line with that intersects within the safety zone, the way the law stands right now, it allows for that neighbor or anyone that he gives written permission to hunt within that safety zone, and it in no way has any effect on private property. It only affects the public right of way, and with that, I would encourage your support and stand by for questions.
Okay. Are there any other proponents?
Vice Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brenda Foreman. I'm here today as a registered lobbyist for South Dakota Ag Unity. And for those of you who are familiar with that, you know we're a coalition of 27 ag organizations. And not very often do we always agree on things. So with that, we would like to lend our support for the clarification that Senate Bill 107 provides and would ask for your support. Thank you.
Any other proponents?
Madam Chairman and Committee, I'm Jim Capriva, Clark County farmer, rancher, landowner, and avid hunter. I'm here representing myself. I think this law is commonly known in the country as a 660-foot ring of safety, and I think that's what everybody respected it as and believed it to be, and now we're learning about these details that make it less than that. I think this is a safety issue. I know of no town that allows hunting in the city limits. Common sense is discharging firearms in the immediate vicinity of people is dangerous. So I support this bill on the right-of-way part. And I would like to mention two observations. I don't know if it will come into play today or not, but one is the bill states 660 feet from occupied dwellings, churches, schoolhouses, and livestock. Again, common sense would consider a cemetery to be a church or similar, although I see a situation where I farm a quarter that a cemetery is on, and I see carload after carload of people bail out and hunt that cemetery, and they're back in and gone, and to me that's just wrong. That is kind of like a church. And now they have those little solar-charged light things on the top of those gravestones. I don't imagine they do too well when they're hit with lead or steel shot. And so I think churches should be followed by cemeteries. And also on the adjoining landowner thing, if that landowner that adjoins my line wants to hunt on the other side of my clothesline, at least I know who he is. I don't know who he gives permission to. What's that guy doing with a shotgun right outside my front door? I think it's maybe okay for the landowner to hunt over there because I know him and he's going to have to deal with me and I'm going to have to deal with him for a long time. However, when he gives permission to some third party, that's a problem. I don't know that person. I don't know if that person is competent, has common sense, will be careful around my livestock and around my family.
Is there any other proponents?
Good morning, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. Mike Held, South Dakota Farm Bureau. I will be brief. We're just deleting 14 words out of the present statute. I describe it as an improvement in the safety zone language, and I think that's what our I know that's what our intention is, and I think that's what it does. But I would like to have you, if you would, look on page 2 at the language on lines 11 to 13 that allows still allows trapping in that zone. So we're not interested in denying recreational opportunities. We're just interested in improving the safety zone around dwellings, churches, schoolhouses, and livestock. We support the bill. Thank you.
Are there any other proponents? Any other proponents? If not, are there any opponents? Any opponents? Okay, if not, I would turn it over to questions from the committee. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question for the bill sponsor. You're supposed to state your question. Senator, would you kind of walk us through this a little bit? I think it's pretty obvious, but what I'm curious about is I assume that the safety box on the first graph on the top here is 660 feet from the from this resident. Is that kind of the way that works? And then theoretically, it would go this direction as well, 660 feet. Would that be correct?
Go ahead.
Madam Chair. Yes, the safety zone is 660 feet in either side. Actually, I believe the way that it reads, it's actually 660 foot. It's to be, in some ways, be a halo. And so the proposal that that I am bringing before you is that if there's that intervening neighbor's property line, that the safety zone is still a safety zone in that public right-of-way, regardless of the intervening property line.
Follow on, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. What I'm curious about then, Senator, is that how about going this direction down into the land across the road from you? Would that be 660 down here as well, a halo effect?
Madam Chair, the situation is this, that any intervening private property, the state cannot deny that property owner his property rights. So even in the case of the property line that might be, as Mr. Capriva had noted, might be on the other side of your clothesline, if it's on neighboring property, that is going to have to come back to common sense and common courtesy to have any restrictions there, because that would be a taking of private property.
Are there any other questions? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to ask Game, Fish, and Parks a question. There's a lot of confusion out in the country over this 660-foot halo. Everybody thinks that just because in statute it says 660 feet, that hunters have to stay away. But evidently, if you sign up for walk-in areas, it doesn't apply. Is that correct?
Madam Chair, with your permission. Tony Life, Director of the Wildlife Division for Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. Senator Peterson, that is correct. The statute only describes limitations on the uses of road rights-of-way within 660 feet of the residence or other elements that are within statute. Only on road rights-of-way. It does not pertain to any public land or any other private land, much as Chairman Kamak has described here.
If I may make a statement, on that, there's a lot of confusion about from landowners on this. One day about 10 years ago, I had a 80-year-old gentleman come out, walking up with one of those white signs. He had taken the screws off that says walk-in area. And he had signed his quarter land up, and he had a building site that was about 100 yards, 150 yards away from the road. And the signs were stuck up all the way around his five-acre building site. And he come up, and he says, "You're in the legislature, aren't you?" And I says, "Yes." He come walking up to me, come across the road. And he says, "Read this sign." On the back of the sign, it says something about the 660 feet. He says, "These are stuck all around my grove, and the hunters are all shooting out there, and they're much closer than 660 feet. And I told him that I assumed that because he had signed it up for walk-in areas, that 660 feet did not apply. It was just a sign that notified hunters that this was a walk-in area. And another misconception is that it applies on other people's land. I had a county commissioner from Dual County approach me about 2 years ago, and he's right along the road, and he's got a small cattle feedlot right there along the road, and he doesn't have a fancy fence. He's just got, you know, like four barbed wire fence around his own cows, and it happens that across the road is a public shooting area, and shots were fired right beside the road, and his cattle went through the fence and escaped. And so there's a lot of confusion. I think we got a little educating to do about the 660 feet, that it only applies to right-of-ways, but thank you.
Madam Chair, a couple of comments. Senator Peterson, very good points, and I would tell you that I know of situations where we modified walk-in area contracts because of some of these conflicts that have been created out there. I can't say with certainty whether or not the situation you described was addressed by modifications of those contracts, but we have made those changes before because of those concerns. The other important point to bring out is that even if you're on private land adjacent to another a neighbor's house or livestock, you're still liable for what you're doing. You're still liable for using your firearms in a non-reckless manner to make sure they're using those safely, and you're restricted both by state statute to do that, and then obviously there are civil ramifications if any damage were to occur. So there's still an element of responsibility that's out there, but it's not governed by this particular state statute that you're looking to amend with this bill.
Are there any other questions? Okay, if there are no other questions, we'll close it to comments and final action.
Madam Chair.
Senator Valley.
I move to pass on Senate Bill 107.
Okay, the motion has been made to pass by Senator Valley, seconded by Senator Jensen. Any comments?
No, I think this not only does it help us clarify it, but I didn't even think about this when the senator came up and asked me if I would be on the bill, and I had just presumed that if you look at the drawing that he gave us, that the right of way 660 feet to the I guess you'd call it, if I'm saying that up is north, that to the west, the whole 660 feet would be included, but it's not. It ends at the property, neighbor's property line, so we need to include that, and I think everyone should support that because it's for the safety of that, in this diagram, the residents, and so I'd encourage everyone's support. Thank you.
Okay. The motion is made to pass. We'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Frerichs?
Yes.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ewing?
Aye.
Jensen?
Aye.
Rampelberg?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Frerichs?
Aye.
The motion has been made, seconded, and approved. No note votes. Everybody voted yes. It has been passed and will be sent to the... Okay. Senator Peterson has moved consent. Senator Jensen seconded. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye. And Madam Chair?
Yeah. Yes.
The reason that I'm voting against consent is I think it needs to be in the public and it needs to be discussed. And I think we need to talk about safety, and I think this gives an opportunity for us to remind people that it is out there and we need to not be traipsing on the 660 feet. So that's the reason for my vote. Thank you.
And it will be kind of fun to have Senator Kamak talk about it on the floor. I will turn the gavel back to him now.
I believe that concludes the business that we had scheduled for today's committee. At this time, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
Hello.
Moved by Senator Rampelberg, seconded by Senator Olson. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, we're adjourned.